Okay? How the hell do you think you're going to sell $100?
This kid's going to shoot somebody one day. He'll be playing Grand Theft Auto 7 on his PlayStation 4, and he'll kill somebody. He's definitely not stable. This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm
Koba. I played so much that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is.
I should have abandoned you.
All right, it's Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 126. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
Website is hwhq.com. The email is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. You can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. The channel is Pound Gamer. Now, what we heard in the intro was this MP3 that's been kind of floating around for the last, like, week. I guess it's from the podcast from GameSpot. And, like, we found this out, like, 10 seconds ago
right.
After listening to it, like, all week. Laughing my ass off. Somebody linked it to us in IRC and checked it out. Search Google. Sony Fanboy MP3. And like, the first hits, you'll get it. I found it there when we were looking for information on it and whatnot. And it's a riot. Like, I was thinking about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
This has got to be some kid that, like, complete Sony fanboy for the last year and a half has been on the forums, like, all over the internet, ripping into Xbox and, like, GameCube owners and,
right,
and DS
right.
owners. You know, just, like, tearing into them and telling them how crappy their shit is. And now that, like, the whole world is, like, all about Sony's PlayStation 3, this kid, like, flipped his lid or something. That's all I can picture. Is this guy losing his mind?
He's going to go to Japan and start, like, shooting people or something.
Something. Probably after the next Grand Theft Auto release. Now, you know, I was talking about the PlayStation 3. A friend of mine, I haven't talked to an IRC in years. This guy I used to talk to all the time. He's defending the PlayStation 3 to no end with me. And it's driving me nuts. It's like he's not hearing the bad.
Right, right. And there's so much of it.
It's weird. It's like he just tunes it out or something. It's kind of like, yeah. It's weird. It's like your mom. She just tunes you out, you know, like
right.
He's talking about video games again, you know, just didn't happen, whatever. And I don't know. So I got, I know, I angry. I couldn't explain to him. And he's just like, it's going to be the best thing ever. It's going to run all your media and entertainment at your house.
That's what my computer's for.
Right. And I have a DVD player. Shocking that
yeah.
plays movies. I don't need a play. And you know what's going to happen? These fucking PlayStation 3s are going to burn out. Like the drive on them will die. Just like all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
They don't last very long because they keep putting cheap-ass parts in them. Although those Blu-ray readers are not very cheap. We actually sell one now down at work that's like, well, it's not just a drive. It's in a Sony computer for like $2,300.
Mm-hmm. But you have to ask yourself, how much of that expense is just R&D? I mean, the drive itself can't cost that much.
No, I'm sure it doesn't. But at this point, I'm sure they're trying to make up for all that they spent on it.
Right.
But they're only single layer at this point, too. 25 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
I want my 200 gigs. I want to be able to back up all my stuff.
Aren't
with
they
like
gonna be
five
like
or
seven
six
layers?
Here. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's
yeah.
what I thought. That's how I thought they were getting like two, you know, or whatever the hell, however many, like 200 gigs or something. That's what I thought they were gonna do. But I mean, apparently we're a ways off from that. But look at the PlayStation 2, where that supports, you know, a reading, obviously, of dual layer DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
Notice there's a problem with that. There's like eight games that are, you know, dual layer, and they don't work for fuck. On, you know, most of the PS2s, they have issues.
Right, well, and they don't even really need the space, for the most part.
No, but they sure think that, yeah, they do. There's a Final Fantasy game coming out, isn't there?
Well, I mean, but only eight games out of all the PlayStation 2 titles.
Shovelware. They're
right.
not titles, they're shovelware. Didn't we get an email about that in
about
here somewhere?
Shovelware?
No, something you said before. Man, I've been forgetting everything like 10 seconds after it happens today. It's like the fourth time. An email about whatever you were talking about before shovelware. What did you say just before that? Well, maybe I didn't.
No, I don't remember.
Whatever. Also, on our forum, you need to go there and check out the game radio related section, because there's like a sticky post that requires your attention. Because we're getting really close to having these, you know, we're getting down to time here for the shirts and the stickers and hats.
Some gamer swag.
Yeah, cool stuff. And I'm really excited because I want a hat so bad. I think that'd be really, really cool. And the t-shirts too, of course, but I don't get a chance to wear those as much as I do a hat anymore. That's okay. I'll just get me a game radio thong or something. A little banana hammock.
We'll put the little target right on front.
That's right. That'd be great. Now, let's see here. Oh, and I had to note this too. A couple shows ago, we talked about the power plug for the, was it the day that we did the DS Lite show? I think it was. Yeah, because we were talking about the power plug.
Right.
And remember, I was kind of disappointed it was different than the one that was on the, Game Boy Advance and the original DS.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, we had a guy named Downer hop onto IRC and tell me that it's the same power plug as the one that's on the Game Boy Micro. So that, like, throws out our whole, like, wattage thing.
Yeah.
You know? Interesting to note, though. So if you, you know, that's good to know. Plus, if, you know, you were looking for one, you probably could have went out to the store and picked up one for the Game Boy Micro, and it would have worked anyway.
Right.
In case you needed one of those. And, you know, I was all bent about it back before, like, the day that we did the show, because I didn't like that. I mean, why the hell would they change the plug? And we were trying to come up with excuses for them, but no. Apparently, they have no excuse. They did it to sell more parts. New parts.
Maybe. Well, I mean, it comes with one, doesn't it?
Well, right. But a lot of people need two, which was actually my whole point. I haven't needed two yet, so I don't care anymore. At first, I thought I was going to use it, but apparently I haven't needed it yet, and I use the damn thing like all the damn time, so apparently I don't need it. I need one for the PSP more than I would need one for the Game Boy or for the Nintendo DS.
It could be as simple as they're making these for the Game Boy Micro, and they wanted to lower how many different kinds of plugs they had to make in bulk.
Well,
you know, they're only making so many GBAs now.
Right, right. Hey, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And yet the micro is like a new thing, so.
Right.
Huh. Very good point. See, Nintendo knows what's best. They're smart. They're on top of this. Now, let's hop into the email. We're actually going to have to pass up, at least for this week. We'll get to them next week. There is two that didn't make it because we got piled with emails. And I'm so happy. Actually, these emails were really cool because unlike last week, where we got ripped into, and I don't think we got email over it really, but we got a lot of people saying, like on IRC and whatnot, maybe there was an email or two, basically kind of negative things about, you know, talking about anything other than Windows gaming and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But then, I guess, after we mentioned that in 125, that kind of came up here, and we did get quite a few emails. There's probably about five here we're going to read today, but then there was two more that just, they came in too late. The notes, at least the email part of the notes were done, mm-hmm. and then we got those in, so we're just going to go ahead and skip right over those. The first one, from Puppy. Hi, C4. It's disappointing, but not surprising when I had... Oh, wait. He had the movies was the subject there. It's disappointing, but not surprising. When have movie tie-in games ever been any good? But the Night Watch game is so poor. Now, we talked about this last show, this Russian movie that, you know, I saw it down there at the Blockbuster. I'm going to have to rent that. So I totally got to check this out. The film is actually really interesting. It's Russian, as you mentioned, and tells the story of two groups of supernatural creatures who between them control the activities of the other group, one being in control during the day and therefore being the Day Watch, and one group being in control during the night and therefore being the Night Watch, which gives the film its name. Apparently, it's planned to be the first in a trilogy of films. The Night Watch are, of course, vampires, which is where the torch comes in. It damages them, as do car headlights, and there we were thinking that it was only sunlight that harmed vampires. Not the torch, it was a flashlight. It's worth picking up on DVD, by the way. It has a really gritty, dark filming style, and also has unique embedded English titles that are actually part of the film, rather than being superimposed, which I've never seen before. Then you haven't downloaded mass quantities of anime. Sometimes these subtitles drip off the screen like blood, explode outwards, or disintegrate into a flock of bats and fly away. That is really cool.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This was like a whole separate section here. Regarding A Scanner Darkly, this is another adaptation of a Philip K. Dick sci-fi story. This time around, they stick very closely to the book, which is why I guess they use the same name as the story for the film. You'll remember that his work has been adapted before. Blade Runner is based on Dick's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? And Total Recall is based on his short story, We Can Remember It For You, Wholesale. Anyway, On another note, I am too waiting for the Prey. I am waiting for Prey with bated breath. A really interesting new FPS twist. I love Kobar's interpretation of the spirit mode on the show, by the way, with his rendition of an Indian chant. I think they implemented that aspect of the game really well and very sympathetically. Made for some very interesting puzzle solutions, too. I want you to know, I laughed my ass off when I heard when I played that back when I was editing it. I thought that was friggin' great. Okay. No, that's good news to hear the movie's really good.
It looked interesting. It really did.
It did look pretty good. And, okay, Total Recall was a fat movie. And what was the other one? Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
I think I actually own both of those, so this
Blade Runner's
got
very
cool.
Classic sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah. So that says really good things about this, I think. Although, I don't know about Keanu Reeves, though.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know if I can handle him. We shall see, because it's something I'm definitely going to keep my eye on. What's today, by the way? The 16th?
Something
June?
That.
Oh, it's July. Oh, you know, we missed some good movies. We missed The Fast and the Furious. Tokyo Drift came out last month.
I've seen it.
Remember the email? You watched that.
Yeah.
I hate you.
No, it's actually not that bad.
Oh, God. You're off the show. I'm done. All right. Send your co-host applications to the c4.gamerradio@gmail.com. We'll be looking over these next week. I can't believe you watched that crap.
Yeah.
No. Although I bet it's probably not all that bad.
It was like watching...
Hackers?
No. Gran Turismo with... A dash
Ridge
of,
Racer!
With a dash of the Yakuza stuck in for good measure.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't bad.
And I can see how it might make like a decent flick for like people who don't know anything about cars.
Right.
That becomes a movie I could watch.
Which is like me.
Right, yeah. Right, see, so...
Imagine a racing scene where they're driving full bore in a Japanese car garage.
So small.
Yeah.
Right. That's pretty
fucking
cool.
Fucking on. Full bore. And they're all like drifting around the corners. It was interesting. It was kind of cool.
I bet that could be... As long as it's loud and there's like plenty of like screeching noises and engine noise and stuff, that kind of gets you going. That's pretty cool. It's like the ending scene in Bad Boys 1. I wind up like standing up by the end of that. I'm like, yeah! It's really good. I don't know what it is about it. They need to get that in games. Like Burnout 3 did that to me. Mm-hmm. You hear like all these noises and everything sounds so good. I was really into that. The next email comes to us from Frozen Walkway with no subject. So I don't know what I'm getting into here. Oh, it's movies it looks like. Just some personal opinion on comic book movies. More like superhero movies in general. Fantastic Four. Personally, I think the Fantastic Four is gay. Invisible Woman, Mr. Fucking Fantastic, The Thing? What the fuck? But Human Torch is okay, I guess, except the name. The movie was better than I was expecting, but not great, so I give it a B. Now, I must say, I think the names are so weak because, you know, this was a comic from when?
Right, like way back, like 50s.
They were like, right, they were like original. They were like, you know... In, like, the first group of, like, popular comics, that was them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they weren't, you know, awesome at the time. I mean, that was awesome at the time. So, I mean, we have to... They've just withstood the test of time, and it was a popular franchise, so I guess that's how we got the movie.
Right.
Batman Begins. Good movie. I'm a fan of Christian Bale because of Equilibrium. I actually haven't seen any other film with him. But, yeah, Batman Begins was awesome. Bat-Tank, anyone? I'd love one of those. Batman is a pimp. Seriously, if you ever watch Justice League, he's... He's like, I'm paraphrasing, what up guys, I made a space station for our home base. Then in Justice League Unlimited, Batman says, I made another bigger space station. Sorry, Batman tangent. The voice for Batman I thought was alright. I mean, if I walked around in a hero costume with normal sounding voice, I'd be like, the fuck? Yeah. He's right too though, like if I walked around wearing tights and a cape and underwear outside of my pants, yeah, and talked like this.
By the way.
Cock knocker.
If you need to watch American Psycho, if you haven't seen any other Christian Bale movies,
yeah, absolutely, he was really good in that. I that movie was kind of weird, but it was pretty good.
I liked it.
Wasn't there a second one?
I think there was.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's any good or not. Spider-Man 1. I thought it was good. Bunch of fight scenes. Toby is a good Peter Parker. Looked like your average geek. Kind of guy with not muscle bound, then got spider shit and was like, oh crap, I got muscles and stuff. Green Goblin dude, can't remember the actor's name. Isn't that Willem Dafoe?
Yeah.
Okay. He's the fucking man, by the way. Let's see. Good Green Goblin, the Two-Face kind of scenario, nice regular life, crazy life as Green Goblin. Spider-Man 2. I didn't think this was as good as the first. I really don't know why. I think it's because there were less intensive fight scenes, or I don't know. I think I just don't like Doc Ock. I mean, in the comics, I'm pretty sure Doc Ock didn't have that close of a relationship. And did you really have to kill him? Come on, Doc Ock stays around for a mad long time. Yeah, I didn't really like it. Felt really slow in the beginning. X-Men 1. It was enjoyable like X-Men, so I thought it was decent just for that. Story was okay, good action. X-Men 2, again enjoyable, but as a movie it was okay. I loved Nightcrawler in all the forms, so that helped. He kicked ass. Did you see him almost kill the president? That's like, oh my god, you're gonna die. Haven't seen X-Men 3, but someone was saying why the hell they need Magneto to move the fucking bridge. And then something... Man, 7-point font is really hard to read. And then someone else was like, because if they used the boat, it wouldn't have been very cool, would it? And because you can't sink a goddamn bridge. And you haven't seen Superman, and I haven't seen Superman Return, so either, oh yeah. Let's see, another random note, if you do say, PWN at all, how do you say it in real life? Pwn or just own or something weird like pound or something. I tend to just say own.
You missed the I'll own you all.
I skipped right over that. I need to not make this font so small. That was me trying to shoehorn email onto less pages than it should have been. Onto an email. Okay. From Seal. Linux Gaming. Hey, I want to let you know that I really appreciated the whole Linux gaming thing. I wouldn't write to you normally about something like this, but after hearing how no one else did and how you got complaints, well, that's just bollocks.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is.
I love that curse word. Props to you for using it in a sentence.
Word. People send a lot more complaint letters than they do praise letters. When's the last time... Oh, this is great. When's the last time you ever heard someone call up Dell support and say, hey, no, I don't have a problem. I just wanted to let you know that your computer works just fine. Cheers and goodbye. So that's theory number one as to why you didn't get people writing and supporting you on that one show you did dedicated to Linux gaming. In any case, Linux is not the OS I boot into by default. The fact that I have all my video editing done on Windows and graphics work done on Windows prevents me as such. Oh, and the whole gaming thing, I'm a cheap ass and hate the whole subscription thing for Sedega. That said, I do use Linux when I can, and I'm an avid listener to Lug Radio and the Linux Link Tech Show. So I hear an episode of The State of Gaming on Linux was very... much appreciated. It combined two things that I cared very much about. Plus, it was only one episode. If you did a series of five dedicated entirely to gaming on Linux, I might start to agree with these unhappy campers. Just as five episodes dedicated only to the greatness of the Phantom Console might drive me nuts. But one episode, that's nothing. Plus, what kind of gamers honor their hobby if they ignore a platform? This is great. Okay. Oh yeah, I have no problem with an episode about gaming on the PSP, but the DS Lite, that's boring. Fuck you, bitch. The aforementioned quote seems somewhat inconsistent, doesn't it? Likewise does, oh yeah, I have no problems with an episode about Windows as a gaming platform, but Linux, that's boring. Fuck you, bitch. My rant of the day. Love the show. Cheers. That's a very good point.
And thank you.
Yes, very much, because we continually have this problem. Mm-hmm. All the time, whether it's like two episodes about, you know, Final Fantasy or EverQuest. And those are, the scope of those games is outrageously huge compared to fucking Mario Kart. So, like, you know, they need that much, like, space of you know, gamer to be dedicated to them. And something like this is absolutely important. And I think it needs more. Dun, dun, dun. Now, we're not saying what's going to be coming up in the next... It'll either be the next one or the one after that. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the next show because we might... I'm trying to hammer some things out and iron some stuff out. But basically, the show that we did before about gaming on Linux was like almost entirely off of that Super Gamer disc.
Right.
You know, most of it was just stuff that I would never have installed on the machine anyway because it was crap. You know? And some of it was stuff that was really good, but I don't see myself playing, you know. And the rest of it, well, I probably have it. You know, like all the, they had like the 3D game list on there and whatnot, you know. So it was kind of like, well, it would be fun to take a look at it and go over some of the games and see what's out there. And I was surprised by quite a few of those games were actually really cool. And I don't mean like commercial 3D games either. Some of those free ones were awesome. And so I was pretty happy about that. Now, let's just say, since that point in time, a whole lot of nothing has been getting done around this place as far as game. I think the only thing I've really played was last week when we did Prey and whatever the fuck else we did. Like, that was essentially...
Nightwatch and something
right,
else.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, Titan's Quest.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Titan Quest. That was essentially, like, it. So, sometime in the very near future, we're going to do an episode that I'm going to call, like, a good Linux gaming episode. Like, one that's not...
A real one.
A real one, right. One that does... Linux gaming justice. Not one that's like, okay.
We got this CD.
Right. Which was okay. Because, you know, I mean, it had some games on there and it was a hell of a lot of fun and it's easy and that is the solution for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Not for us and probably not for anybody that listens to the show, but you never know. You know? But there is a proper show out there. A proper one where it's like, not a bootable live CD, and you have issues, and you have emulators, and you have
real games.
Not emulators, and you have hint, hint, and you have real games, and you have installation issues and distribution problems because they're all different, and video card issues, and ATI can kiss my ass, and I mean you have all these things you have to deal with. However, there's a lot of people out there that do want to hear about this sort of thing, but I don't want to. Well, like Seal said, it's something I care about. It's two things that I care about. And so it needs to be done right, and I don't want to screw it up. You know, it can't just be another show where we couple of random games and some crap. What about the really good stuff? The stuff that I can play for hours on end. And I'll tell you right now, I've seen about 3 hours of Windows this entire week, and yet my computer's never been shut off.
Right.
Okay, so I'm really giving it the old college try this time, basically, okay? Which for me translates to about 2 weeks. So, give me another week. I'm fooling around with a couple of the things, and I want it to be really interesting and a lot of fun, and I want it to be the kind of thing that, like, some random Linux dude in, like, you know, in a hut or an igloo in Finland or whatever, you know, is like, word, bitch, you know, Linux gaming like a motherfucker. And he's all happy about it because he got to hear about it, you know, and it was done proper, not off of a live CD. Or something like that. Okay, moving on. Oh, this is funny. I kind of feel bad about this email. So, we're laughing. No, we're laughing at you, not laughing with you. Okay, Juice, the DS Conspiracy, Yo, C4, and Kobar. Upon browsing some Nintendo DS titles on the web a few days ago, I came across something interesting, well, to me at least. Kinda weird, but it seems a lot of companies are using the DS acronym as a basis for the subtitles of their games. Now, I'm not talking like Mario Kart DS, or Tetris DS, or fingers crossed, Crystalis DS. Check out this list as an example. Castlevania, Dawn of Sorrow, Advance Wars Dual Strike, Resident Evil, Deadly Silence, Tenchu, Dark Secret, Dig Dug, Digging Strike, Guilty Gear, Dust Strikers, Mr. Driller, Drill Spirits, Lunar, Dragon Song. Well, maybe it was obvious to everyone but me, but I feel like I just found an Easter egg or some shit. Well, thanks for the shows and for keeping it real. Peace out. P.S. After listening to some past shows, it's awesome to hear you're a Crystalis fan also. Here's to hoping we get Crystalis, Double Swords, Dragon Sword, or whatever for the DS. Okay.
Nintendo has been known for this for... like the whole time, and even the third party developers. Like, look at all the games in the Super Nintendo that had Super in the name somewhere.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, sorry, Juice, but when I saw your email, I was laughing hysterically at first, and it was like, well, you know, like I don't want to make you feel bad, and I'll tell you what, I didn't notice it right away. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took a while, not a long while. I mean, it probably took two or three game titles, and I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. But I didn't think there was one person out there that didn't pick up on it yet. Which, it is pretty cool, though, which is why you probably, okay, so now, see, this is, and it's cool to feel like you discovered something, too, so I know how Juice feels. Now go back, like, an episode or two to whichever one we were talking about Star Fox in.
Right, right.
Now, listen to when the part we said it should have been called Star Fox Deep Space,
right.
Not Star Fox Command. And then it'll, like, click, and he's going to be all, oh! Now, and I dig his idea. See, Crystalis Double Swords or Dragon Sword or whatever. I would kill for another Crystalis-type game. I love it. I mean, it essentially is Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this kind of goes before. Remember I said, why doesn't Zelda get ripped off more? Crystalis and Newtopia. There's, like, four people right now listening going, oh, my God, Newtopia rocked! If you don't know what I'm talking about, it was a kick-ass game for the TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah.
Total rip-off of Zelda. Okay, and so was Crystalis, essentially. They had a better inventory system. Like, you didn't just have, like, a sword.
Right.
And then you didn't just, like, get another one, and now you had the earlier one. You actually had like a lightning sword, a wind sword, a fire sword, etc. And then you had like bracelets, like a power bracelet, and you could like fucking upgrade your shit. You had Link's before. Oh, maybe it wasn't before Link. I can't remember now. Let's see. No, it was on the Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
So Link did not have his spinny move yet. His right, where he spins in a circle or whatever. So this had, like, I think 3 charge bars, right? So you could tap the button. It was a Nintendo game, a Nintendo Entertainment System game. And he would swing, and you could hold the button, and it would, like suck in stuff around the air, it looked like, in your sword. And you had, I think, 3 levels of charge. And, like, you know, you could let go, and it would shoot, like, let's say it's the air one, like an air ball or, you know, fireball, that kind of shit like that. So you had all these different things, and I think you had to have, like, a power bracelet type deal for each sword. You know, you had different armor sets, like probably 4. I can't remember the armor sets. And then you had I think rings, I think also, and then like a whole bunch of like weird ass inventories of herbs and, you know, the usual RPG type of stuff. Man, I cannot explain how much of that game I played. Like, it was one of those old games that you just played over and over and over, even though you beat it a million times.
Right.
You know, that game was just Jesus to me, you know. It was spectacular. And I've kind of always wanted a proper sequel, you know. In fact, I think they released one on the Game Boy Advance, but it was like a remake or something. And it was like, well, meh. You know, if I wanted to play the original, I could play the ROM from my legally owned cartridge on my... No, I can't on the PSP. That was a whole illegal statement there. So, yeah, I can't play it. So I'm buying the Advance one. Moving on to an email from... Oh, I got a real name. So DT are his initials. Episode 124. Hey, C4 and Cobar. Now, okay. We've explained this on the air. It's all over the website. It's a K. Cobar is spelled with a K. All right. Heard episode 124, and it touched on the issues I'm going through right now. Tried to get Vista Beta on my machine and found out I missed registration, period. So lame. At least you gave me insight to how shitty Vista might be. I, too, was on the so-called Linux scene around 1999 and left it after I got bored, partially because of gaming problems, and recently started to get back into Linux with a new machine. So if you could review Sedega so I can either save my £33 a year or spend it as they got rid of their demo, that would be super. Let's see. Anyways, another one of my stories. I'm sure you're not interested, but I was wondering, how did you and Cobart get your handles? Sorry if you've already explained it, but I'm starting to listen to your podcast around episode 110 and can be asked to go back and listen. Again, Wicked Show DT in England. Okay, now, first thing any new listeners need to know. It's not a podcast. Cobar is spelled with a K, and C4 is how I sign my real name. It's my initials.
Right.
More or less.
It's his signature.
Right.
And I was playing Final Fantasy XI
oh, yeah.
when we started this show, and that was my nickname on in the game. And my current handle, I was a little embarrassed about. I had had it since like middle school when I thought I was Elite Script Kitty. And it just kind of stuck. And so I didn't want to use that one. And I kind of had a blank look on my face. And C4 just said, well, how about Cobar? And then, yeah.
It stuck. Yeah.
And there you go.
No, but see, we need to come up with a cool story for it, though. Like a cool story. We need to have some kind of like crazy Uber story for it or something. If you Google the word Cobar spelled properly with a K, it's like a planet in some comic book or something even.
Yeah, and it's also like some country or city in fucking
really?
The Middle East or some Whoa. Crap. Yeah.
You might get bombed on the news one day. That'd be wild to see. Now, let's see. There was one more email. From Dark Dragon Man Neo, I was on, oh, Jesus Christ, MySpace. Okay, that's lesson number 3. You don't go to MySpace. The other day, and I was going through a group forum when I found this article. It said that Sony patented this new technology to basically keep people from trading, selling, buying, renting, and borrowing used PS3 games. I've seen this before, but I think it's just bullshit. I don't mean to sound like a huge fanboy, although I am. That's your mistake, number 2. But I really... Hey, were you the dude who called? but I really don't see them using this with their games. I was wondering what you guys think about it, because it's kind of crap to use that against us PlayStation fans. Also, I saw your thing last week and wrote a paper about that. What? And I found it bullshit called... Oh, Jesus. And I found this bullshit called mavav.org. It's mavav.org. Go to it, but be prepared to get pissed. Speaking of hate, what's with the hate for Final Fantasy 7 and 8? I mean, okay, shit went down after 8, but come on, Final Fantasy 7 rocks. Also, you guys like anime? Love the show and hope it lasts. Now, first of all, it will last, my friend. It's been 3 years.
Yeah.
We're not going anywhere because somebody has to do this. And that's us.
And we like it.
And we enjoy the crap out of it. And it's a lot of fun to hear from people and play games with people that listen to the show and whatnot. Because it's nice to meet, you know, gamers that are actual gamers and not some douchebag hanging out on the fucking GameSpot forums trolling, you know. Those people suck. So let's see. Let me go backwards here because it's easy for me to do. What's with the hate with Final Fantasy 7 and 8? Play 1 through 6 and tell me that 7 through 10 are worth the disc they're printed on. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, end of story. Now, 7 is, I've always said this, and you may have not heard it, you might be kind of new to the show, is like it was the border one. It was the one where, like, they kept the story and cool shit from the old ones, but it was when they started to go to where it's not a game anymore. It's just, you know, video, and it's stupid. And since then, they've sucked. Play, if you can't be bothered to play 1 through 6, I can totally understand, you know? Mm. Play 6, though. Final Fantasy VI, if you have a Super Nintendo emulator, you're looking for Final Fantasy III.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Play that from start to finish. Don't get on for any cheats or anything, game facts, stupid crap like that. Play this legitimately. Okay? And then tell me that any Final Fantasy past that is better. There's no way.
It's one of the greatest console RPGs ever.
Period. Seriously. Okay? I mean, it's just that good. We're not, like, making this up, okay? It's documented somewhere, damn it. I'm telling you, alright? If it's not, it will be. Now, we're still going backwards here. You see, you're a PlayStation fanboy. Oh, no. Mavav, okay. This was a rumor. Okay, I do. Years ago. It's old. It was a social experiment by some college kid.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a website. It's Mothers Against Violent Video Games or something.
Oh, I've heard that.
Right. It was a joke.
Okay.
It was a social experiment. He wanted to see how riled up people would get over it. I remember when this was on the front page of Slashdot. And I'd seen it before that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was huge. So basically, the guy's test was successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay, and if you want to read up on it, go to Wikipedia. Type in Mavav, and it tells you all about how it was like a hoax and everything. Okay. Now, going back, the Sony thing. The disc trading and copying. We also talked about this before where they have the technology.
They have the patent.
They have the patent.
They patented it in October of 2000.
Though. Right. And they're not going to use it to burn your PlayStation 3's code onto the disc and keep you from doing that.
Probably not.
No. They're not going to do it. They said they're not going to do it. Like, we talked about this before.
I'm going to sick Ribo on you.
Why?
Because they said... console... they say stuff all the time.
Right. Now, particularly
you're probably
Sony.
Right. You are probably right. That it's very doubtful that this technology is going to get used. They could have put it in the PS1, I think. October 2000? I can't quite remember when PS2
maybe.
Came out.
Yeah, maybe. But could have been in the PS2 even.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. They're not going to do it. But the Sony has actually come out and said, we are not going to have it like burn anything. Okay, if your PS3 breaks, you are fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense at all? Would anybody buy a product like that? Absolutely not. Okay? So, what they are doing though, at least that I've heard, they're going to, okay, they may have the patent and they may have the technology to do this, but they're using the law to keep you from buying used video games. And I don't know how they're going to handle the borrowing a friend's game and all that kind of crap. I don't think they're going to be able to handle that. I mean, they're not going to be able to crack that down.
Right, no. They could make it against the law, though, but you can't crack it down.
Right, exactly.
And I'm not sure it's quite passed in the U.S., though. I think that was in Canada.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay.
That it actually happened.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And they're working on it here.
Of all the countries... Which one has the most fucking retarded laws?
Us.
Okay, then. So what's going to happen is Sony's going to prevent you, Americans anyway, from, I guess, buying used video games. And you know what? That's fine with me.
Well,
I don't buy used anything.
I don't really either very much at all. But it's not fine with me because that's one more instance of them telling me what I can do with my shit.
Right. I mean, it's really not okay. I mean, that essentially makes it illegal to sell your friend a game that you don't want that he really wants.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Sony says I can't do that. Now, fuck yourself, okay? It's my disc.
I understand it's the license that we buy. But I didn't lease the license. I bought the license.
Yeah.
I get to sell the license.
I'm gonna I'm gonna sell the license to that poor bastard now, right?
If this kind of crap continues, soon Toyota's gonna be telling us where we can drive.
That's right.
I mean, let's think about that. Someday it could happen.
That's right. Especially the road we're going down.
Because we don't want our cars going into that area. Hey, so you can't.
Your bandwidth cannot go to Amazon. The phone company doesn't like it.
Yeah.
They support buy.com and the cable company supports somebodyelse.com. Nobody can go to Amazon. Okay. This has been making me so, this net neutrality mm-hmm. issue is getting me so pissed off because it's like, we're like teetering on like the internet falling to pieces as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, dude, my life would be shattered.
what happens to HWHQ?
Yeah. They don't, hey, they don't.
We can't afford to pay for
them.
Yeah, we pay for bandwidth. The way you should pay for bandwidth.
Exactly.
We buy our bandwidth.
They're just trying to double dip or triple dip here.
Yeah, it's triple dipping.
It really is. They get paid by us. They can get paid by the guys who want the site. And if we want access to special sites, guess who gets to pay them more?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I want to use, newegg.com to buy my stuff and they don't allow that, well, yeah, but for an extra $5 a month, you could have access to that website, C4. Well, you know, hey, that's
As far as I know, they won't actually block you.
Right, but they can.
You'll go at 1K a second.
Right, if I'm lucky, yeah. and you wouldn't do that.
No.
Well, have you used dial-up recently?
Oh, God.
Okay.
That's 50K.
Yeah. No, it's 5K. And I've run across it every so often. You know, cause at work.
Right.
It's you get like 5K down, like kilobytes.
Right.
So you can't use that. I don't know how the fuck people do it anymore. It's freaky.
I just got my dad off it. Oh. I had to buy him a router for Christmas.
I don't understand these people. I know.
And he continued to use AOL for 6 months after that.
I know I got... Wait a minute. When did you buy the router?
For Christmas. And like...
Oh, yeah, you said that. Okay. I know a guy who pays for AOL, dial-up, can get DSL for $10 less a month than AOL dial-up.
Oh.
Won't do it.
Why?
He says, I'm not on the internet that long. And I'm like, what? He goes, well, maybe only 2 hours a day. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's besides the point. You could spend 20 minutes on the internet. If you don't want to be on the internet that bad.
You could cut that 2 hours down to 10 minutes.
Yeah, like nobody's business. You know, or you could get like 100 times the amount of things done mm-hmm. in that 2 hours that you have allotted for your interweb time. You know, but you know. You've got to come to the point, I think I finally cracked. Like, I used to care. Like, I used to care about everybody's computer.
Mm-hmm.
I would see, you know, somebody something not right and do everything I could to fix it. I've come to the point now where I'm like, you know what? Sucks to be you. You're on your own. It makes it hard to do my job.
It sucks to be you because you have to go on it.
Do it, you know. Hey, I mean, at work, it drives me nuts, but at least I'm like, you know what?
Well,
we could always reinstall for you, and I'll just sit here and play DS games while I watch this little thing move across the screen. Whatever.
Well, also, it does help you appreciate your bandwidth more when you come home.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does. But I get to the point when I come home where I just, like, I have to sit down in front of this box and suck in the goodness.
Because I go, and I always have the high bandwidth, and I'm like, oh, I just want more. More. This is so slow.
Speaking of which, I was going to ask you, maybe we should just do that later, because it has nothing to do with the show, about the bandwidth issue from AT&T now, and if you know anything about what I can get on cable in the area, because I've got cable for another couple of months here. Any case, on to the one single solo mono news item. How the hell did this happen? The Wiimote.
It's kind of an interesting piece of news, though.
It is. Do you want to go ahead and do that?
Okay, well...
Into the microphone, though.
Right! Nintendo has actually done a press release outside of a big event like E3 about the Wii. And they gave us a little more info about the controller. First of all, it uses two AA batteries, which I am not a fan of. I would much rather see rechargeable battery.
Yeah, really. Give us some kind of a nickel metal hydride or lithium ion or something, you know? I'm sure maybe not. Maybe if they don't have a jack to this thing that you can plug it into something, it won't recharge.
So put a jack in it.
Well, Nintendo better hurry up. We're getting down to the...
They're not gonna. It's AA batteries.
That's so lame. Well, okay. You can get, like, lithium rechargeable AAs and whatnot. I've got nickel metal hydride ones.
And you get 30 hours of pointer play and 60 hours of...
Motion
play.
I see.
So that's not too bad.
No, that's not
too
bad.
I would still really prefer rechargeable battery that you like.
Yeah.
An in-controller rechargeable battery.
Seriously, let me ask you this question, though. How many hours have you put on your Xbox controller this week?
This week? Zero.
Month?
Zero.
Okay. How many hours have you put on your PlayStation 2 this week?
Zero.
Month?
Zero.
Okay. GameCube?
Zero. Zero.
All right. Now, I have put about 4.5 minutes into my Xbox controller this month. I had to use it to fire up a movie. That was about it. Or
I've put quite a bit of time on my 360 controller, though.
Oh, you're such a dirty whore. You're such a bastard, though. Now, in case nobody knows what you're talking about, he's playing Final fucking Fantasy fucking 11.
I'm not playing hardcore like the original time. I'm just kind of, enjoying myself.
On his PC, right. Not on his Xbox 360.
Right.
That doesn't exist.
With a 360 controller.
Right, yeah. Now.
Yes, it does exist.
No.
My 360, exist. No, it doesn't.
Right, yeah. 2.4 gigahertz Bluetooth signal.
No, you mentioned that the Bluetooth shouldn't affect it.
Yeah, but I'm full of shit.
Yeah. But the last thing I need is a third piece of equipment on that band.
You have 11 channels.
You have
14.
But it still messes with it, doesn't it?
Well, you go to the far end, the middle, and the other end, and you should be okay.
Okay. It contains 6 kilobytes of non-volatile, I'm actually not sure what that means, a RAM. And purpose is unknown, maybe stores custom settings, I doubt it, because RAM goes away.
I think this is like flash memory.
Oh.
So.
What I'm going to guess is that the original guess of this article is that it's a buffer for the speaker.
Oh. Yeah, that would make good sense, wouldn't it? Yeah. Okay, yeah. A whole 6K.
Well, I mean, how much do you need? It's a little tiny speaker.
I don't know how much that sound file takes up, though. Right. Well, whatever.
There's a button called Synchro on the Wii that does the same thing as one and two buttons on the Wiimote, which actually, like, connects the two.
Oh.
You forgot to put that. It's kind of important.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when you turn it on, you sync it up. And then you have to actually go to the Wiimote, and you sync that up. And apparently it, like, saves the settings.
How do you have four, then?
Because there's multiple connectors in the... It can handle multiple connections.
I don't understand. Like, there's a one and a two button on the Wii.
Right. And when you hold those down together, it does the same thing as pressing the Synchro button, which happens to be in the battery compartment. They hide the Synchro button. What they were saying is that you probably will be able to hold down one and two, so you don't have to open up the battery compartment.
Okay.
You just wrote that part down, Funky.
I didn't write shit. I copied and pasted.
Oh, then they wrote it down.
Yeah. With Funky. Oh, and in fact, even the word "the" wasn't even in there. I had to add that. Or on. It was on. On wasn't there. It was buttons of the Wiimote.
Nice.
Yeah, I had to add on the Wiimote.
Yeah, and each controller is giving a wireless ID number from hitting the Synchro button.
Right.
It has A, B, 1, 2, minus, plus, home, power, C, and
power.
Z buttons.
Yes. And they're all digital.
Yeah.
Digital. Oh, I'm so happy. That means jackasses like me can actually hit the button now.
What does that say? On Wiimote controller details.
Revealed analog.
Ah.
On not Wiimote controller detail, I have no idea.
This is fantastic.
Where did this come from, though? Like, it came from some, like, foreign...
The original place was IGN.
Yeah, but they got it from somewhere else, though, didn't they?
Did they? I thought they went to some...
Oh, really? Oh, probably then. Okay, I don't know. That's not where I pulled it off of somewhere else, so...
The sensor bar can be below or above the TV, which is nice.
Oh, yeah, it is, actually, because that solves my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mine will not stay on top of my TV, there's no way. But I can put it in front of the TV.
And yeah.
On that little shelf.
Yeah, should be able to.
Sweet.
And the sensor bar is 20 centimeters in diameter.
That's going to look kind of weird.
Yeah, well, luckily I can put it on top of mine.
Yeah.
But The sensor bar has a sensor on each end which interacts with the Wiimote. I'm not quite sure how this works. Like, is it just for, like, reference?
Yeah, I guess.
The LEDs on the Wiimote used to indicate battery life as well as which controller slot it corresponds to. Four LEDs flashing on startup means 75 to 100% battery life, and three is 50 to 75, two is 25 to 50, and one LED is 0 to 25. Halogen lamps, fluorescent lights, light from plastic or mirrors can affect the Wiimote's capabilities. To combat this, Wiimote needs to first register the coordinates of the two sensors on the sensor bar.
She's like, kill all the lights in the room, turn on the Wiimote.
No, it sounds like that's actually what the sensor bar is for.
Detecting, like, light?
No, to make sure that the Wiimote knows where it's pointing to.
Well, obviously. They didn't just decide to tack this bar onto it because they thought it was a good idea.
Right, but I mean, it's not necessarily because, like, if you were in a dark room, you might not need the bar.
Really?
The way it's worded, that kind of sounds like it.
No, it doesn't.
No?
No, it doesn't. I don't think so.
Saying that's what the bar's for, to combat this.
No, it doesn't. It sounds like that when you turn it on, it tries to get a feel for where the remote's at, and it needs to take it a second to figure out where the points are. So, like, you would, like, need to turn the lights off or something, or have it kind of dark, I guess. You know, or at least not have those kind of fucked up ass lights in the house.
Which you shouldn't either, anyway.
I got a fluorescent light right there.
I know, and they suck.
I know, I hate the goddamn thing. Anyway, that kind of blows. But, this should be interesting to play around with. Giant bar or not, I see a lot of people buying this damn thing. This thing's going to be just, I don't know, I hope it's just going to be off the hook. Have you ever seen that movie? Fucking I Can't Grind. It's got Tom Green's dumb ass in it, and he does this really funny off the hook.
Ah.
Off the hook. He's saying it and, like, doing it. It's funny. Anyway, now, I got to play, but we're going to get hate mail for this one, I bet. Talk about a weird game to play. Now, this actually came, who told me about this? See, we had some new faces hop onto IRC this week. It's been pretty awesome because we're getting to hear a lot of, you know, stuff that normally we don't hear, you know, from other random, like, not random people, you know, other people that aren't the same 20 people that are there all the time. And
right.
It's always nice to see new people in there, you know, get to meet other new people. And some of these guys hook up and play games on the DS Lite and all this other stuff once in a while.
Come on by.
Yeah. It will be worth it most of the time. Now, I'm probably going to butcher his name, but his handle's Pekuja? P-E-K-U-J-A. Pekuja, it sounds like? Spelled like, I guess. He told me about this game called Wing Nuts 2 for the Mac.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, what happened here, okay, is I wound up with this Mac Mini here for a couple of weeks, and pretty much I've gotten to play with it enough to discover that, yeah, I can't stand it, and Macs are lame. But they're great. Like, I would rather have, like, my mom use one of those than a Windows machine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I would be over there every week trying to fix it. At least that she can't break too terribly much. So I've learned that from this little experience I've had.
And its size, I must say, is
Well, this
impressive.
Is a Mac Mini. They're not all like that, you know. I mean, they got big honking ones, too. But
I know.
This is a Mac Mini. And, you know, something like that, like, I could totally see my mom, like, digging. I mean, it has a wire, like, the real one has, like, a... Oh, maybe that explains it. It's got a wireless mouse and a wireless keyboard.
Oh.
That explains how that works. One of the things I was going to bitch about later in the
Don't they have to have receivers plugged in, though?
At least probably just one, though.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably explain the situation. So anyway, this game's called Wing Nuts 2 Reyna's Revenge. There was a Wing Nuts 1. Looked equally as fun, but this looks, like, way cool. And it's on the Mac, needs OS 10.4 or above. Now, the requirements in this are 512 megs of RAM, 32 megs of video, and 950 megabytes of friggin' hard drive space for... Now, I downloaded the demo, and it's about a third of that. It seemed to only take up about 300 megs, and I'm trying to stall here, but this fucking Mac is such a piece of shit. Let's see. This one in particular has a 1.5... gigahertz PowerPC G4, 512 megs DDR, and God only knows, it says Macintosh hard drive. So, whatever. Good job, Apple. Fucking douchebags. Now, they have, so basically we barely meet the requirements, and whatever the hell the onboard video has probably has 32 megs of RAM. Cause, it does run. And you can go check out a demo for this at Freeverse, FreeVerse.com/WN2, Wingnuts 2. And if you can't find it, go to Freeverse.com. They have it there. Type in Wingnuts 2 on Google or something. Now, the reason I actually really wanted to review this game, I thought at first about just kind of pushing it off until, like, if we did, like, another Linux show, we just kind of roll it up in there. Mm-hmm. But essentially, nothing else got played this week. I didn't wind up buying Prey. I didn't wind up buying Titan Quest. I just can't spend that much time during the week playing all these games. It just doesn't seem to happen for me lately. Just, it, you know, kind of sucked. So I did manage to find the 30 minutes to go play through the demo on this, actually twice now, and because it's actually fun. It's if anybody remembers a game called Zone 66, and I had it back in my 386 days, so it's an oldie, and I loved this frigging game. It's basically an overhead 360-degree 2D airplane shooter game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have this giant map. Well, maybe it's not giant, but some of them get pretty big. And you fly around on your little plane blowing stuff up. But you have complete control of your plane, like which directions it can go. You can go all over in circles and whatever the hell it is that you want to do. You have freedom of movement there. You just don't have up and down.
Right.
Okay? Now, you do have, like, a move that, you know, appears that you go up and down. You know, like a you hit one button and you, like, go up. And, like, kind of, you're looking at the bottom of your plane, so you're going, like, backwards now, right. And then your plane spins over. But I think you can, like, not be shot when you're doing that. So, like, the sprite really only shows you flipping over. You're not actually going up into 3D space,
mm-hmm.
You know, but it removes the hitbox from the sprite, I think. So you can't, I'm pretty sure that you can't be hit like that, I think.
That's an interesting bit of strategy, then.
Right, yeah, it definitely helps an awful lot, and I apparently need to use it more, because I get owned by a couple of these. Like, the third boss in the demo just kicked my ass the first two times I went after him. And anyway, it's actually a lot of fun. I mean, you know, seriously, it's, you know, a basic shooting game, you know, and
a top-down shooter where that doesn't scroll.
Yeah, I mean, so it's kind of slow in that regard, you know, because, like, the ones that scroll kind of keep the heat on you because they're scrolling, you know. This one, you can kind of float around, and, like, there's little power-ups and whatnot that are, like, hanging off of parachutes, like little guns up, like a little icon is like a gun, like a revolver, and it upgrades your weapons. And you have, like, a little shield to build up your shields or fuel cans or whatever. There's a couple different things. And they're like, hanging, they're floating in the sky on parachutes and everything, but you can see them marked on the little map. There's, like, a little tiny mini-map up in the corner, so you can see these little, like, cyan-colored dots or whatever the hell color they are. So you can actually, like, take a break from the action. That would be running away from the red dots and go find these other dots and get some power-ups and whatnot. And it doesn't seem like it's, you know, no pressure. You're just like, oh, I better head on over and go grab this or whatever. Now, these are also three demo levels that I played. So,
right.
I mean,
probably the first levels.
Right, probably, yeah, probably the first three levels. So it did seem kind of easy, I mean, as far as, like, the levels themselves. But what's really cool is they give you missions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you start out, like, there's, like, this whole story. And it's, you know, there's some kind of guy, some Baron von Stopwatch or some crap. He's, like, the bad guy or whatever. And anyway, there's, like, this whole story that one of the maps is basically you've got to clear out all the enemy planes flying around. And there's a lot. There's, like, 100 planes out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, this like, freighter ship thing cruising through the ocean. And there's, like, it becomes, like, a river or whatever or something. And it starts to go up that. And the idea of the map is you have to, you know, clear out the enemy planes and blow that tanker thing up because it's transporting something that you guys need for your mission. It's like a time warp device or whatever the fuck. And so like, you got to kind of cruise around it. It kind of keeps the pressure on that way since it doesn't scroll. You're almost timed, you know. So it was a lot of fun to go flying around. I just wish I had a controller. Now, the problem with this little Mac Mini here is there's only two USB ports on the back, and I've got a controller, or a mouse, and a keyboard plugged into it, and the hell am I going to do? So I don't have any kind of controller I can plug into and play, so I had to make do with the keyboard, which isn't all that bad, but this game definitely would play a hell of a lot better, I think, with the controller.
It certainly looks like it.
Yeah. You get a bunch of different ships, planes, I mean, and you have a carrier that floats around. That's like your base of operations, right? And it's like an airship carrier. And
it's kind of a cool idea.
I'm trying to think of how to describe it. It's an aircraft carrier that floats in air.
Right, and it looks exactly like a sea aircraft carrier.
Right. So, now, my only complaint with it is it's hard as shit to land on it when you need to because it spins around in a circle, not fast.
Too fast, though.
Too fast for landing on it easily, but not to where it's like spinning like a top or anything, you know? It's just like, it's just really hard to like come in and line up for a nice, you know, clean cut landing on it. And the reason you would want to land is, let's say, you know, you're getting the crap kicked out of you, your shields are low, you're running out of fuel, you land on your carrier, you can switch planes. Now, you start out with three, and you actually unlock them as you go, so you can build up a pretty nice little, you know, group of planes. And while you're out flying around with a different plane, the one that was that you dropped off, they get repaired. They get filled up on fuel, their shields regenerate, you know, that kind of stuff, but it takes time. So you can't just, like, chill at the screen, you know, and watch it refill. You gotta get out, fly around with a different plane for a while, try not to get killed, you know, and go from there. Which is pretty cool, because it's like their live system. Mm-hmm. You don't have three lives, you got three planes.
Right.
And, you know, I have a favorite plane, whatever, I can't remember which one it was. It was called Bell or something. There's three different planes that I had. And I used that one so much that I basically had all the upgrades for it, but I got, you know, raped on the third level. So I had to, like, you know, dock my plane and go get a different one. And all of a sudden you find yourself on the third level with, like, a, you know, virgin plane.
Right, with none of the upgrades.
Yeah.
Because all the upgrades stayed on the plane you played all the levels with.
Bell, good old Bell. Yeah. So all of a sudden I had, you know, this virgin plane, and it kind of sucked, and it's really hard because you're on the third level all of a sudden. So there's definitely an element of strategy there where you have to kind of balance out what little power-ups you pick up and whatnot with your different planes, because you're going to need them in the future. Now, I don't know how many you wind up getting, but there are probably quite a few overall. There was like, oh crap, I didn't write it down. I forget how many levels it said, like 30? I think it said over 30 levels, I think. I didn't write it down.
I was surprised. It was quite a few.
It was. Yeah, dang, I can't remember now. But the explosions were cool. Okay, the graphics in this game. Now, what did you think about the graphics?
I liked them quite a bit. I dig that 2D, 3D thing.
Yeah,
it looks like we've good. Said before, it works well because, you know, some games just need to be 2D.
Right,
but why throw away the graphics that we have acquired over the years?
Right,
so I think they did a really good job.
They did. I think everything looks really, really good. It's, you can get these crazy power ups like the Mecha Mode one. It makes your plane all big, but like little disjointed pieces of blocks are flying around. It's kind of neat. And then like when you kill something though, okay, and like it actually uses OpenGL, and this game has plenty of eye candy. You know, like as far as particle effects, things exploding and whatnot, flashy bright stuff, even your bullets, which I thought was cool. Now, I don't know if you could see it from where you were sitting, but when you shoot those bullets, they're like green, like kind of like a bright green. Mm-hmm. But then as they go out, they like change colors, like to like a yellow and a blue. So it's kind of rainbowy and give you this really nice, crazy acid trip effect, you know? It's pretty cool. And like the same thing happens on the enemies that are shooting at you. You know, right. Their bullets are all crazy looking and everything, and there's explosions going on. You can bomb stuff. You know, so you've got bombs. There was some kind of a special, like, AOE.
Unlimited bombs, too.
Yeah, yeah. And thank God, because it's hard to bomb things, because you're in a plane moving.
There's also a lot of things to bomb.
Yeah, little trucks and stuff, and, like, little sandbagged-out gunners or whatever down the ground that are, like, shooting at you. It's pretty cool. I mean, there's plenty of stuff going on. It was a hell of a lot of fun. The bosses are giant-ass, like, planes or blimps or whatever. They're big. It's really cool. I mean, it's just neat. Oh, and the game has a very, very arcadey feel to it. You know, like, there's you got some chick who's incredibly annoying because she said the same thing. So she's, like from John Madden, the original, like, John Madden 90, says, like, the same five things. That reminds me of this chick, you know. She's like, coming in, 5x5. Yeah. I mean, it was terrible. But she did a good job, though. Like, the voice was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the animation of her character was okay. The lips weren't synced, but she looked like a very cel-shaded character. Kind of reminded me of Advance Wars.
Right.
Kind of reminded me of that style. Overall, the game, I thought, was a blast. I had a lot of fun playing it. It was nice to play a game that reminded me of something like Zone 66 from back in the day. What else did I want to say about that? There was one thing. Oh, yeah, it when you blow something up on this Mac Mini, something particularly big, it, like, brings it to its knees.
That's almost an understatement.
It's bad. It, like, straight up, like, freezes for, like, a second or two.
And then goes to it for a couple frames for a couple more seconds.
Yeah, okay. And it's just the effects, though. It's not the explosions themselves. Mm-hmm. It's the effects. Like, when you would get, like, that weird ripple in time kind of effect when it would blow up.
Right.
It the bullet time effect. Mm-hmm. When that part comes out is when it always seems to just take a dump. So you might want to play on something, you know, a little bit beefier than this piece of crap Mac Mini that I just, you know, was talking about a little bit before. And I'm sure most people, if they have a Mac, they probably do. You know?
Right.
So I would say check this game out. And it's only $30 for the full version from freeverse.com. I can't really slap a good number on it because I didn't play the whole game, you know. So I can't really give it some kind of a rating, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, just for a kickback shooter type.
Certainly if you like top-down shooters.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you could have different profiles for your controls, so if multiple people in the house use it, you could do that. It did say that it supported controllers on it. Like, it had a controllers option. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't figure out how to hook another one up. So I was kind of bummed about that.
You could have, like...
not used the keyboard or something.
Yeah, like pulled out the keyboard after you were done setting it up and slap in a controller.
Absolutely. Now, on to... we're in trouble. The movies. And we've got 20 minutes left. About 22, 23 minutes of...
Two movies.
So I can say my movie sucked and it's going to take me about 2 minutes to talk about.
My movie... I did not like my movie. So it too will not take much time.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, I do have a backup plan, though. Okay. So we're not totally screwed. Well, that might be a really good thing then. So maybe we'll blow through the movies because we don't often have the chance to just kind of like go off and like speak our minds on random stuff that we've been thinking about. Usually it's, you know, email, some news, some previews and reviews and some movies and we're done for time. Mm-hmm. Summertime is a little dead. I mean, we talked about like the big releases, you know, Titan Quest and Prey last week. And since then, you know, I've been playing Warcraft 3 and Quake 3.
It's actually honestly a little surprising that we had such big releases in the middle of summer.
Yeah, huh?
I mean, Prey's pretty huge.
It is.
And
it is.
It's usually something saved for winter.
Yeah, so I mean, even those games were kind of a shock. And I mean, and Titan Quest sure in the hell crept up on me. I didn't even see that one coming. I didn't hear about it or anything. And just one day it was out. I was like, whoa.
See, I did. There's been a lot of
yeah, I don't know
hype on it.
How far my head's been up my ass, but apparently I didn't hear about it. So anyway, we do have an interesting topic that we could bring up that I think would be nice to touch on. So I'm going to blow through this crap. Maybe we'll go through yours and just dedicate the rest of the time to just a little bit of chatter on this because it's something that's serious. Okay, our topic here. So, let's see. Ultraviolet. Oh, I can hear the groan right now. Oh, my God. You watched that? Now, even the trailer for this movie sucked ass.
It was really cheesy looking.
Yeah. I remember watching it thinking, oh, boy, here's some other, you know, B-movie going to come out. But it's got, what, that Mila Jovovich and William Fichtner, who I actually really like that guy. William Fichtner's the guy who's in Go. He's in the movie Go. He's the guy, the Confederated Products guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of other shit. I just can't think of what it is right now. But I dig that guy. He's pretty cool. Anyway, I thought this was a terrible movie. I felt like I was confused the whole time. It's a comic property, okay? Mm-hmm. So based on this Ultraviolet character, and I'm sure there's this whole huge fucking story behind it and everything, but lucky for you, they don't explain anything, and they just kind of throw you in there, which is mostly okay. I mean, you know, I don't expect them to go through the whole damn history in a little, like, you know, 90-minute movie.
Yeah, but when it's obscure, like, I've never heard of Ultraviolet, the comic book.
Yeah.
When it's obscure like that, they really need to.
You know, they should have for this. They really should have. And what sucked, okay, essentially, there's, like, vampires. They're not, though. They're, like, it was some kind of virus that got into humans. It didn't kill them right away. It gave them all these fat powers. They call them vampires. Makes their teeth grow long, they need whatever, and they only can live like 12 years. They try to set the story up to be all interesting, it's just not the way that they present it to you, and they try to make you care about her because this whole you can only live 12 years thing. So she's the
vampires in this only live 12 years instead of forever?
Right. So like, well they call them, they're not vampires. They call them vampires and they're affected by the light, and you know what I mean? Like they,
right.
I don't know, it was just weak. And they try to get you to care about her by saying, oh, but she can only live 12 years, and, like, you know, you're at the end of, like, the story when you start, or end of her reign of terror when you start, or whatever. And that's it. You're supposed to care about her because of this. So it doesn't seem like everything was explained very well. At some point, she runs into, like, remember Blade had the old guy that made all the shit for him? And
right.
It was, like, way cool.
Whistler.
Yeah, yeah. And he had, like, all the cool gear, and it was, like, his safe house and all that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And had the weapons for him and all that shit. Well, there's a guy here named Garth. This is actually William Fichtner's character. And he just, like, appears all of a sudden. You know, it's like, there's no setup for it or anything. She just, like, goes there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you just kind of have to say, okay, well, this is you know, I get this, like, this is Whistler, right? You know?
Right.
And it just, I don't know, it just felt kind of random. The overall plot is that the humans have this weapon of mass destruction that will wipe out the entire, like, vampire, like, race, like these infected humans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she apparently works for some kind of a coalition of these vampire people or whatever, and they need to stop it. They need to, because they're all afraid of it. Well, she finds out it's not something, like, all destructive and whatnot, and I don't know what, I can't remember how much they show in the trailer now about it, and I don't want to drop, you know, the ball on anybody here and tell them what it is. So, but basically, it's pretty weak, and, like, the whole movie was just bad. Like, I did not even have any interest in it at all. The whole movie is fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, used some kind of Photoshop trickery the entire freaking goddamn movie, all over faces. So the idea was to make it look like they were comic characters, but they just blurred their faces is what they did.
Seems like very interesting. They probably thought it was some really cool new director's trick.
Yeah, it's terrible because it, like, doesn't look right, you know? I mean, it feels like you need to put your glasses on the whole time. You know, it's really weird.
Either that or they were trying to use it as a disorienting tool. I mean, the point of the movie might have been to keep you kind of, like,
I don't
disoriented.
I'd like to read somewhere where they said this is our idea. Like, maybe if I listen to the commentary or something, they would say. But it drove me insane because they did such a bad job of it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just all over the place, and it sucked. And, yeah, the only cool part of the movie was at the very end they had an awesome sword fighting scene. I thought it was cool. And so basically, I'd give it $1 out of $8.75, which I'm pretty sure was their budget for the movie. So go ahead with your movie.
All right. My movie, I saw Superman Returns. And I did not like it, like, very much at all. I admit, I've never been a huge Superman fan. But unlike Ultraviolet, Superman Returns spends, like, an hour pretending like no one knows who Superman is.
What about Batman Returns? Half of that two-hour movie is them trying to, like, tell you who Bruce Wayne is.
I don't know. Just the way they did it was better, maybe.
Right, it's got to be that.
But it's the problem is, by the end, I felt like this was a 2.5-hour infomercial for future Superman games or movies.
Oh, my God.
And that's really where it kind of falls apart. The like, hour in between that's actually Superman movie was pretty cool.
Yeah?
I get really kind of tired of the whole kryptonite thing.
Right.
I would much rather see Superman fighting burly-ass things than a human that happens to have a chunk of rock.
Right, right.
And so, A couple things. This Brandon Routh guy, who plays Superman and Clark Kent, I guess he's from Gilmore Girls and Will and Grace.
He did like an episode with each of those.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is the kind of guy we're getting here. Will and Grace.
He actually did a really good job.
Yeah.
His mannerisms, especially as Clark Kent, is exactly like Christopher Reeves. I mean, when he does that smile and the push up of the glasses, it's exactly like him from the old movies. And that was kind of cool. Nice throwback. Kevin Spacey did a great job as Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
I thought he was, like, perfect.
Good.
He did a good job.
Because I was actually kind of worried about that.
The movie made me look forward to new Superman movies.
Right.
But that's, like, all it did.
Right.
I don't know. It was too long and too much time spent setting shit up for the future. Right. Was my biggest problem with it. If they'd trimmed it down and cut out.
So it sounds to me like they were just trying to make this summer's Batman Begins.
Right. And they were also, you could totally tell that their whole purpose was to start back up the Superman franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a problem with that.
Now see, Batman Returns did all that.
Yeah, but it made you like,
Begins.
It made you like glad.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
You wanted it.
And it does that with this a little bit too, because like I said, Kevin Spacey does a really good job.
Right.
This new Superman guy does a really good job. I don't know. It just didn't feel right. It felt like they were trying too hard to just set it up. It felt natural in Batman Begins and kind of like forced in Superman Returns.
But it sounds to me, and I haven't seen this, but it almost sounds like they just said, let's take that formula and apply it to Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Although they couldn't have. When did they start filming?
I don't remember.
I wonder. Yeah, it had to have been a while ago. Huh. That's very interesting. Now, but yet I've heard a lot of people said it was just, well, at least a couple people say it was just fabulous.
That's what I keep hearing, too, and maybe I'm just dumb.
But you really don't like Superman, though.
Well, it's not that I really don't like Superman. It's just he's one of my least favorite.
Last week when we had the if you could be any superhero talk, and I said Superman, you look like you just had like some bad raw eggs or something.
I am not a huge fan of Superman.
It's because of the overpoweredness of him.
Yeah.
He's like, and that's, if you were playing an MMO, he'd be the guy that everybody hates. Because he's just that uber.
Right, right. Yeah. The overpowered class.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's fine if you throw him up against bad guys that
are just as equally burly.
Right.
Not humans with rocks. Yeah, that's pretty funny. But Superman is usually a lot of like situational stuff though. You know, like he's usually going against some humans with rocks that have bombed a bank and killed people. So he has to like spin around the world a bunch of times hella fast and make it go back in time and solve the problem, you know, or whatever. You know, it's a lot of situational stuff usually.
Like I said, it wasn't a bad movie. Like the middle hour was actually quite good.
Right.
And they set up some pretty interesting things for future ones. By the end, it felt like an infomercial though, and I have a problem with that.
Yeah. Okay.
At least Batman Begins felt like an entire story.
Right, right.
And I don't know.
You. So we got to also watch. Oh, did you have a rating for that?
I would give it 4 out of 875. Okay. It is. I would almost not feel ripped off in a matinee.
Right. Okay. But a 4 is a solid rental, though.
Right.
Okay.
So watch it for sure.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm sure I will. Definitely will. Another movie I'm definitely going to watch: Pirates of the Caribbean 2.
Mm.
I got to watch that. Been hearing some really good things about it, except for the end, of course.
Right, which holds the same problem as what I was saying with Superman Returns. Right. It's just like, we are going to make a sequel.
Except for in this scenario, we already have the sequel.
Right, right.
That one's, I guess, already made. But so we got about 12, 13 minutes here to talk about this topic.
I said, now we have to rush.
Now we, I know. Now, this topic has actually come up off the mic here.
Right.
Quite a bit over the past couple of weeks. And I'm not quite sure how to set this up just right. We had a great opportunity to mention this during the Linux show, you know, the live CD Super Gamer show, but it didn't come up because I couldn't remember it. Like, I could not remember what we kept talking about. I remember saying there were some great points that we had, and essentially, now that we were just kind of conversing here a minute ago about it, it was essentially Windows gaming, DirectX, stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not quite even sure where to start on this.
Well, I guess a great place to start is DirectX 10 will be Vista only.
Okay. That is a good place to start. Now, let's hope everybody knows what DirectX is. For one, okay? We don't have time to get into it all, but basically your game uses 3D, you know, it's DirectX. Right. That means it doesn't work on anything but Windows.
Right. It's kind of like run instructions.
Right. It's the 3D instructions for the game. So, as opposed to, say, OpenGL, which will work on any platform.
Could you almost say that DirectX is like the kernel for just the video card? It's like the layer in between the software and the hardware?
I don't know enough about it to say that.
Okay.
No programmer here.
Right.
So I don't know. But essentially, we know it's very important as gamers because that's what all your graphics come from. If you got old ass DirectX stuff in there, some games look funky or won't run or whatever. I mean, we know it's, you know, this is your, well, it does a little bit. I mean, it also kind of handles your, like, you have direct input, you know, so if you have controllers and whatnot, it kind of goes through that. Direct sound.
Right.
They use all this crap for that, you know. Direct 3D is the graphic part of DirectX. So, and all these games are programmed, well, in DirectX for Windows, most of them, okay? Not all of them, you know. But most of these games all use Direct 3D. Now, we know there's a couple DirectX 10-only games coming, like Crysis comes to mind, and probably Halo 3 on the PC or something,
I would imagine so.
You know, yeah. And, you know, Microsoft likes that because it means that you can't run it anywhere else. Now, the topic has come up before by, like, why the fuck are they... They're saying that you're going to have no DirectX 10 on Windows XP.
Right.
So, that to me is a hostile action by Microsoft.
A little bit.
You know, that is saying you will pay us $200 for Windows Vista.
Mm-hmm.
Or you are not playing any more video games that are going to be new and use DirectX 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, It stands to reason that most games are going to use DirectX 9 for the foreseeable future.
Because of this.
Right. Right. Explain that now.
Well, because video game developers look at this and go, hey, well, most people still run XP. I mean, you don't get new Windows until you buy a new machine.
Right.
That's just like how it works. No one walks out to fucking Best Buy and picks up a box of Windows.
It disturbs me every time I see that.
But how often does it happen?
Not very. It's like rare. Not very at all. Like, I have sat there and I have heard the words come out of my mouth. You need to go down to the local store and buy a copy of Windows XP. And it sounds like the most foreign sentence I've ever said. Like I'm speaking Japanese or something.
You get one with a new computer.
Right, right.
And so it will be a while before Vista is entrenched. It took several years for XP to be entrenched.
Right.
There's still lots of people that don't have it.
Yeah, true.
And so it will be a while before we see games using DirectX 10, which is a dirty shame, because we've had 9 forever.
Ever, right. Now, which also means, because we've had it for so goddamn long, gamers generally don't use onboard integrated video.
Right.
They have a special video card inside their computer that is all kind of souped up in neon lights and fans and ridiculous power requirements and shit. New fucking drivers every
Chrome
month.
Chrome and...
Yeah. Chrome and fucking copper heat pipes and shit, you know. Seriously, okay? It's like the most riced out piece of your computer any gamer generally has. Now, most of them, us, have a DirectX 9 card.
Mm-hmm.
So you would also have to buy your new PC, your shiny new Windows Vista, and a brand new graphics accelerator card to in there. A DirectX compatible one, which they don't have those yet, for right. one. You know, so
now a DirectX 9 video card will run DirectX 10 games.
Right. Just, you won't have some of the extra shininess or whatever,
right.
you know,
in the
water.
You're missing all the things that come from DirectX
right.
10, though.
Exactly. So, you're sitting there plotting your future gaming, and you're like, well, now I gotta buy, let's say your computer, like, okay, mine is a great example. It's not, I don't go out and fucking buy Windows, you know? A new computer. Whoops. I don't go out and buy a new computer. I just don't do it. I don't go out and buy a fucking Dell or a goddamn e-machine. I don't do that. I buy parts and
right.
put it together. Okay?
It has several advantages.
Yes. Which means I have to go out and buy Windows, is the disadvantage. Okay? So, I have to look at, like, a $400 video card,
mm-hmm.
a 200... Okay, I don't know how much Windows Vista is going to be. Of the 7 or 9 versions they're going to have, you know, do I go with the Ultimate? Do I go with the Gamers?
Well, the Gamers is actually the Ultimate.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It is
awesome.
It is like the most expensive and best one because the it's actually more burly than the CE version, which is it hasn't been.
What's the CE one?
Like Pro. It's actually they call them Enterprise Editions.
Oh, right. Okay. Corporate Enterprise?
Right.
Maybe CE?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is the burliest one because it has all kinds of extra little hooks and instructions for DirectX 10.
Good God.
And it's like the media gaming version.
Kind of making my head hurt. No, they're going to have a media center version too.
Right, but this is like both.
Okay. The basic, pro, gamers, and server. That's 4. We know there's at least 3 more.
Mm-hmm.
So, media center. Did I do that one already?
No.
And then what?
I don't know.
I think the Ultimate's another one, I think.
Oh, maybe.
I think it is. I think so. I'm not positive. Then there's something else. There's probably something else. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's 7.
But they'll all have different price tags.
Right, so I don't know. So now I'm looking at like...
But ours, I guarantee,
$500 or $600.
The one that you're going to want is going to be one of the most expensive.
That
ones.
Was the point of our little sidetrack here. They're holding you hostage, is what this feels like. Now, they also have that shiny little arrow interface, which, you know, hey, whatever... It's a theme as far as I'm concerned, you know?
A pretty one.
You know, yeah. Okay, it's not even that good. I don't like it. I don't like the Windows interface. Like, I don't like the Mac interface. I don't mm-hmm. like the way that it works, so I don't like it. I try not to use it. I don't like that. So as far as Windows themes go, okay, it's better than all the XP themes that it shipped with, those the 3,
mm-hmm.
the silver, blue, and green. I still use the classic one because it's, like, less offensive. But it's still bad, though. You know, I mean, it makes your eyes bleed. It's so ugly. But it's better than the Play School looking ones. So now, okay, so you've got Arrow. They took out Windows File System. They took out, what's it called, Monad, the PowerShell thing.
Right.
And I think that's a separate download now, though. But we're not going to see WinFS. They took out some other crap, too. But anyway.
I'm actually glad for
WinFS. Oh, right. The way that sounded, yeah.
It sounded like a resource whore for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah. That's another thing. You know, I mean, if your computer is not top of the line, you're going to be in the hurt shop trying to run Vista.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see current day PCs running XP that are hurting. How the fuck are these things going to run Vista? You know, I mean, it boggles my mind that this is happening.
Another thing to like, add to this hostage feeling situation is what they're doing with OpenGL.
Right. That was the next thing.
They are, not only are they not supporting OpenGL, that would be one thing. People could still work around that. They could create support. No. With OpenGL 2.0, Microsoft will actually be turning off features. They will be neutering OpenGL purposely and maliciously on Vista.
Now, just so you know, when you fire up Unreal Tournament 2004 on your Linux box or Quake 4 or Unreal Tournament or Doom 3, you're running it in OpenGL.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if Microsoft is ensuring that they have to for the future of games, because we all know that they sell games on their shininess, so obviously they have to use the latest in graphic technology, so they can't use OpenGL anymore. They're stuck using Direct3D,
mm-hmm.
which means good fucking luck getting that game to run on anything else.
Yep.
Unless the game was designed from the ground up to use fucking Direct3D and OpenGL, that'll never happen.
We are just now, finally, after this dark period of time, starting to see games like really start to use other options again. And Windows went, oh! Microsoft went, oh, no, we can't have that at all. And so they're doing everything they can to make it not happen. And it's disgusting.
Right. It really, it makes me feel, seriously, like I'm trying, like they're trying to hold me hostage. Like, they know that their product sucks so bad. And I really think that Microsoft, it's a lot like the DS. Nintendo didn't have, except for it's not going to be the success story. Nintendo had no faith in the DS, but they did it anyway because they took a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe it's not anything like the DS. Microsoft has to put out a new OS because they need to keep the flow going, but I don't think they have a whole lot of faith in it. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think they know that it sucks for A, and B, the corporate world is not going to pick up on this anytime soon. I mean, it's probably going to be, let's say that this comes out at the end of this year, right? So 2007, January, you know, bam. Windows Vista is on the shelves now. It'll be 2-3 years before the corporate enterprise place, you know, marketplace starts picking up mass quantities of Vista.
There's one really cool thing about Vista for businesses.
Oh, the backup thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have something like Norton Ghost
built
into Vista, but it does not care about hardware.
Yeah.
So you can put images of a hard drive on any Vista machine.
That's pretty nice.
And that is an insane step in the right direction for businesses. However, they need burly-ass hardware to run it, and businesses do not buy computers very often.
No, they
don't.
It's
too expensive for no reason.
Right.
I mean, it's not like a gamer who spends $2,000 on a computer every few years.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
So, like, this sucks. Essentially, we're telling you that you have to buy Vista soon.
Mm-hmm.
And probably upgrade some hardware soon. Just to keep on top of games. PC games. Windows games.
On top nothing. To just be able to play
right.
these games.
Now,
that one won't be soon.
Right.
But it'll
right.
happen.
But it's because it will happen.
And this is a problem. Because Microsoft is not saying, all right, what can we do to make the best product so people want to be with us?
Right.
They're saying, what can we do to make it so they have to be with us?
They have to find a way to lock you in.
And that is a terrible, ineffective, but very terrible way to do business.
Right, exactly. Yeah, this is not okay. This is not okay, but most people don't see it like that. That's why it's like a good topic, I think, to bring up, just so that you kind of get aware of, you know, what's going to happen here in the future as far as your computer goes and playing some games on it. Because I'm not looking forward to that. I do not want to deal with Vista. I don't. I don't care. You know, I just want to keep playing some games. I mean, this is like turning me to play console games more.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're, I don't know.
This is why businesses that are this big are going completely against what our economy system is about and designed around. Because when you have this much with much clout and you can move your weight like Microsoft can,
right.
It like completely destroys the open market.
Yep. You don't see anybody else saying, hey, we're going to come up with an operating system here pretty soon. The hell do you see that happen?
Yeah.
That would blow my fucking nuts off if I saw that. Some company just like, look, you know, current OS is suck. We're cooking up something sweet. We're going to have it on all the shelves pretty soon, and we're working on drivers for you know, everything or most of everything right now.
The business is locked down.
You know,
I mean, you
right.
have Linux, which is free.
That nobody wants to use because they're terrified of it.
Yeah. And you have Apple, which... The only reason OS X has done as well as it does is because it's the only thing that Apple machines will run.
Right. Well, they'll run Windows now.
Right now. That's what
right,
I'm saying.
Right, right, okay.
And I think that was a terrible move on Apple's part. It would have been a good move a long time ago, but now
right.
I'm not so sure. I think that's the only thing that's been been holding
what
they have.
What I think needs to happen now is Apple needs to say, you know, blow me, Microsoft, and start selling OS X in boxes and stores to run on generic PC hardware.
Fuck yeah.
That's what they need to do. They need to start, you know, throw down the competition and say, it's on. Somebody has to do this, you know? And sadly, like, as much as I think Linux is a good idea and a fantastic operating system, there's no, like, it's not, it doesn't work that way. They don't have these guys, like, okay, I see, you know, SUSE on the shelf, say, right? Mm-hmm. But what is the number one most popular distribution right now? Ubuntu.
Right.
Okay. Do you know any person in the free world that has ever heard of this except for, like, a very tight-knit internet community? No.
Well, and flat out, even the distributions like Ubuntu and SUSE, they're not grandma-friendly.
No.
They're really not.
Right.
I mean these distributions are a lot better, and
right.
if they have...
Well,
they have a
better in the user-friendly man
right,
wording.
Right, right, right. That's what I meant.
Right, okay.
It, as far as for grandma goes.
Right, 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 okay.
But they still need someone watching over them.
Yeah, yeah.
They can run a Windows box. It's easy.
They can run a Mac box, I bet.
Probably.
All right. Well, Microsoft, burn in hell. Because this is fucked. It really is. What makes me the most mad... is the OpenGL thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the rest of it, I'll probably get over.
Well, it's...
Vista will happen.
Frankly, it's their own software, and they can do what they want. But OpenGL is not theirs
right.
to turn shit off on.
Exactly. Exactly.
What the fuck? That cannot be legal.
That's... I don't think it is. I really don't think it is.
Because...
Well, they'll claim some bullshit, though.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work, right. It can't be done. You see what happens when you turn this on? Windows crashes. Ah, no good. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, we gotta go. Next week should be interesting. Let's hope. We were running kind of dry this week. There just wasn't a whole lot out there. Welcome to summertime. Have you picked up your favorite gaming magazine lately?
Mm.
It's like three ads and an editorial. It's fucking terrible.
Three ads?
You know? In a four-page magazine?
There's
the front cover. There's the inside ad with a little, like, blurb from the editor. Then there's a full-page ad for World of Warcraft. Then the back cover is, like, you know, a Vista ad. I swear to God, that's what you have. Terrible. Ugh. Okay, bye.
Later.
Spot, my name is Jason, and I have a bone to pick with Sony, okay?
It's the Crypt Keeper.
What kind of people over there at their marketing rep, okay, they announced it's $600. I let that slide. Okay, I'm a Sony fan. I let that slide, okay? And then they keep on... pounding you with bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news, okay? Oh, you're not buying a game system. You're buying raw potential. I don't give a damn, okay? I don't want potential. I want the goods. Show me the money. And plus, okay. I just saw something that... the games would cost anywhere from $60 to $100, okay? How the hell do you think you're going to sell a $100 game, okay? What is wrong with you, Sony? What is wrong with you, okay? Just scrap the whole PS3. Scrap it. You stupid pieces of junk. I can't believe what you're doing to yourselves. Oh, my God. Show me some good news, or I'm going to buy an Xbox 360. I should have done it a long time ago, Sony. I should have abandoned you. You guys, all you guys give us bad news. What the hell is wrong with you? Where is the good news? So my question is, why can't Sony give us some good news? Okay, you guys are great. I love you guys. You guys are like my only friends. Please answer my question. My GameSpot account name is Jason16888. Okay, bye-bye.